Hello, dear listener, if you are listening right now to the fourth part of the Sound Ecology series, a program that approaches the broad field of ecology creatively through sound and the broad field of sound alongside with environmental sciences. For this episode, I suggest we listen to an interview that I have recorded in September 2020 with my dear friend and colleague Florian Schneider, who is currently working as a researcher for ISOE, the Institute for Social Ecological Research in Frankfurt am Main. He is a theoretical ecologist and environmental scientist, and has also been involved in a certain number of art collaborations since 2016. In the beginning of the 2020 lockdown, we have funded an Anthropocene laboratory called A Hole in Deep Time, which is supposed to serve as a platform to foster the dialogue between sound arts and the environmental sciences. If you happen to be by any chance in South Korea at the moment, you can discover three of our collaborative video works in the Gyeonggang Nature Art Biennale. In any case, wherever you are, in a few seconds you'll be listening to Florian counting stories about moss and its superhero powers. Enjoy! Florian, you recently worked to construct a whole wall of moss. Can you give me a small introduction on this project?
Yeah, sure. The idea was, or the challenge was, we have this problem in cities that we have a lot of air pollution and a lot of noise, a lot of smell. And that moss is actually quite effective in filtering all this stuff, pollutants, fine particles, and so on. And it's also, it's buffering noise, it's noise canceling, has all kinds of effects. So we thought, why not use this natural material to do something good in cities? And the idea is not new. Some other experiments have tried this, but it's quite challenging to keep the moss alive. So we don't want to build just one of those decorative dead moss walls that you have in some cafes or doctors' practice. Our moss wall should be alive, and the whole thing is, our prototype basically is 2 by 2 meters. It's covered with different species of moss, so you get a quite nice different shades of green on it, and it has an automatic water cycling system in the back that keeps the moss alive. And our prototype now is installed in Darmstadt, near the train station. And it's quite decorative, it's quite nice, and also gives quite a nice air, like refreshment if you stand right in front of it. Moss is quite, sometimes people say it's a basic type of plant, but it's it's actually quite interesting, quite diverse. There are many types of moss, but moss mostly requires humid conditions, like very wet. You find moss in bogs and near to water, and at the forest ground and so on. So in places where it's usually moist, humid all year round, or at least most of the year. And moss also has the capacity to fall completely dry, for example, in summer. Like in Germany, in our place, most of the time in summer, the moss is in a state where it's not really living tissue. It's kind of in a stasis, and it recovers in winter and in autumn when there's enough moisture, enough rainfall. And it's growing again. It's turning green very quickly and starts to grow. And that's why moss is quite robust also to these conditions that you find in cities. You have a lot of places where you find dry, you have dry air in summer and it's dusty, and in winter you have a lot of runoff water that's not really staying in one place. It's just running through. So it's a lot of dry places. It's like rock walls that you find in mountains, or yeah, that's what you could compare cities with, and that's why moss is quite nice to grow there. You find moss everywhere in cities. You find it on the streets and on the walls, on roofs. So it's quite natural habitat in a way. The trick with moss is also like different from other plants. Mosses basically must breathe with their surface. They take they have a very soft and unprotected surface, which means they take on all the particles and air that just touches their own surface. They take it in their own tissue and metabolize it. They use it for growing, for fertilization and so on, and for breathing. So especially in cities, you have a lot of fine dust particles, and they are basically they consist of carbon, of like rubber from tires, or imperfect combustion in engines. And this fine dust particles, if they touch the surface of the moss, they will be decomposed, they will be split up in even smaller parts, and then will be used by the moss as a fertilizer.
It's kind of
And
magic.
that's why, like, the capacity of moss to integrate this fine dust particle is very high, actually. They can take up a lot of material, and by that they grow. They can produce more biomass. They can even collect more fine dust particles, and so on. So it's self-enforcing. It's a positive feedback. And yeah, beyond fine dust particles, moss also can they can use other like heavy metals and stuff that we don't want in the air, that are then exhaust fumes of the of cars, for example. They can integrate that and deposit it in parts that they don't use anymore, that they shed and so on. So it can collect all kinds of unwanted volatiles from the air.
That's totally incredible.
Yeah.
I'm right now looking at the moss wall on your website. It's true that it's quite beautiful with all these different shades of green.
It's
Would you?
like a painting.
Yeah, it's like a painting. I was about to ask you if you would consider it as an artwork, basically.
Yeah, sure. It's not only about this function of cleaning air and water. It's also about, yeah, about having this kind of texture. You can go very close, you can look at it, you even could touch it. And you smell it. It has a very particular smell of forest ground, basically. Smells of the forest.
Beautiful.
So I think it has a lot of sensual effects to the observer. So it definitely works beyond this pure functional aspects. It works on a very personal aspect as well. It's like multi-sensual. It's very intense, I think. And yeah, we get quite nice feedback, because the place where it is, it's a public place. It's a small beer garden. A lot of people pass by the moss wall if they go to the toilet, actually. But also you get very close to the wall, and it's really Yeah, I think it works quite nicely. Also to making people think about this type of plant, which is not very typical in gardening or in, like, it's not in the focus of the attention if you walk through the cities. And that's also why it's making mind shift in a way.
And
Yeah.
you said moss had also the capacity of soaking up acoustic waves.
Well, you're the expert for that, but of course, moss is a fine structured surface, and just by that physically, it's diverting sound waves. It's absorbing sound waves, just the same way as a sponge or a mousse at the wall of a sound studio would. Yeah.
Do you think there might be also in ecology a future that is concerned with how our cities sound, or more distinctively about noise pollution? And what did you ever think about this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think it's in a way it's one of the characteristics of cities as places that are apart from nature. Like in cities which are not nature, they are cultural entirely. We have a lot of noise. It's by definition in a way. We have people running around, we have cars, we have industry, we have entertainment with music, no? That's noise. In a way, it's in the ears of animals and plants, it's noise with no information content for them, right? And that has to have an impact. And it's hard to imagine. I mean, the noise always finds its way around. Like you can build walls around highways that should absorb the sound, but it always will bounce back from the clouds, go detours of hundreds of meters and kilometers, and you will still hear it, right? So it's really hard to control noise in a city, and especially with all those glass walls and concrete walls, right? That's perfect for bouncing back and forth, for enforcing it. So I can't, like, that's basically what cities are. And if you imagine cities in the way we said before, like with more plants, with more leaves on all the walls of buildings, with moss walls along streets, I don't know, this kind of vision, then we will have a lot less of noise pollution because it's being absorbed more, right? We need more structure and more texture, and plants can provide that. Yeah, sure. I think we could definitely think more in terms of how to make a city, for example, more habitable for plants, and by doing that, gaining a benefit in turn. I don't like the idea of seeing plants and cities just as green infrastructure or as problem-solving nature-based solutions. I think it's more interesting to see them as cohabitants of the same space, and by sharing the same space, we share mutual benefits in a way.
Thank you.